Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
We marveled at our own magnificence as we gave birth to AI.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
It's alive! It's alive!
AI on Lunchtime Live.
Welcome back to Lunchtime Live. It is Andrea Gilligan here with you until 2 o'clock. This week, as you know, we are focusing on AI and what it means for each and every one of us. Already this week, Jess Kelly has given me some examples of what exactly AI is currently capable of. We have looked at the effect that AI has had and will continue to have on the music industry. But today on the show, we are focusing on AI, the law and the truth. And joining me in studio today are Brian McKelligott, partner with Irish business law firm Mason, Hayes & Curran, and our very own news anchor here on News Talk, Eamon Torsney. Today we are asking, what are the legal implications of artificial intelligence and how can you tell what is real and what is fake in this new digital world? To start, for example, how many of you actually believe that this voice is me? Andrea, were you convinced?
Wow. Oh my God, yeah. I don't know whether to be alarmed that there's parts of that that actually does kind of resemble me, or maybe I should be somewhat relieved that I can hang on to the job for another year or two, because surely that doesn't sound like me. Eamon Torsney, you know me long enough at this stage.
I think, let's be honest now, I was kind of aware that this might happen, so therefore I was listening for the flaws, if you like. So, well, hopefully they don't find any for a newsreader as well. You know, we have to put a break in it there. But it was frightening though as well in certain
aspects,
wasn't it?
There's certain parts, isn't there? Yeah, so Eamon Torsney, of course, our own news anchor here with News Talk, and Brian McKelligott, as I just said there in my cloned clip, who's a partner with Mason, Hayes & Curran's law firm, both with me today. It's not perfect, but it's not bad, Brian, either, is it?
It's pretty impressive, isn't it? And you see so many examples, and it's become such a big topic this year, in the year of elections, isn't it? Both here in the EU and in the US. Well, there's a massive focus on, you know, what can you rely on, and a lot of disinformation.
I suppose the bit, you know, just in listening to that clip, and this is something we've been talking about with Jess Kelly on Monday, and we were talking about the impact of artificial intelligence in the music industry yesterday. And one of the things that, that you know, the artist and those working in the industry will tell me is that AI lacks soul. Mm. And I would like to think that cloned clip of me, it lacks the injection probably of personality, I hope.
Oh, emotion, personality, you know, that's the thing, is that there are actually news channels that are set up with AI generated content, and all of them, though, require the content to have human verification behind it. So even if it's a text-based, say, web page one, they employ editors, they employ, you know, other journalists to make sure that the information that eventually goes out actually is truthful, if you like, and is representative. But also then the AI-generated newsreaders that I have heard. Mm. And again, there's no empathy, there's no emotion behind it that you would get with journalism.
Robotic.
Yeah, robotic. Exactly.
Just on the voice cloning action. Actually, yes, that was my voice cloned by one of our researchers here in the team. Like, before people kick off, he did ask for my permission, obviously. But like, we didn't actually need anything else. You know, that's just as simple as basically putting that text into software, into an app. And that is just a lot of the audio was taken from many of our podcasts that are online that you guys listen back to on the News Talk app. But it's pretty simple to do it. You know, you uploads in around a minute. He told me as well he used a fake email address, signed a disclosure with a fake name, was able to complete the whole thing in about 5 minutes. It was free to do it. And this is coming from a researcher on the team, you know, who would tell me himself that he's not great at using technology, but it's easy and it's accessible. So I suppose, where are the concerns, Brian, in the area that you're working in, you know, in the legal perspective of all of this? Like, you know, we are currently, I suppose, drawing up or legislating around this, aren't we?
Absolutely. You know what? It actually breaks down into two buckets. One is the kind of the responsible ethical side of things, and the other is the law. And in about, say, 8 weeks' time, we're going to get a new piece of European legislation, which is going to legislate for many applications of AI. But deepfakes will come into it, but the law, I guess, will be difficult to enforce, in my opinion anyway, in that it's going to put the onus on the user of the AI system, which is the deepfake system that generated the particular voice clone for you there, to not do it, or to make it, to make a disclaimer about it being a deepfake. Now, if you think about that, though, in a practical sense, how is that actually going to stop, you know, rogue actors just issuing these left, right and centre? So a lot of it will come back to how organizations from an ethical or safe sort of AI perspective set up their systems so as to ensure maybe some sort of a verification that, you know, are you the person who is, you know, or do you have consent to do this in the first place? So there's a big gap there between what the law says and what maybe people might like to see from an ethical perspective.
Yeah, well, there was actually very little sought for or looked for, you know, in the cloning of that clip.
And I think a lot of that will come down to, in time, a distinction between, you know, who are the providers you'll trust and who are the providers you may not trust, and they, you know, the kind of sort of rogue providers that you'll stay away from, or that many of us will stay away from.
This is an election year, and in the US too, like, there's been lots of talk about how AI might interfere with the election. For example, in case you didn't hear, are coming up on the show on Monday.
Stay tuned to Lunchtime Live. After the break, Andrea Gilligan will be talking AI with Jess Kelly.
Yeah, and of course, let's not forget,
this is Joe Biden. It seems you can also easily fake my voice as well.
Don't forget me, you guys. I was president too, you know, Barack Obama.
It's, you know, election era and year here, Eamon Torresney. Like, you're in the newsroom, you're listening and dealing with this. So, yeah.
Well, the whole thing here is that there's always been technological advances that journalism has had to deal with. And we've relied on basic journalism skills to get us through that. And I think we're going to have to, you know, instead of being afraid of AI as it comes along, just trust our skills to be able to actually identify and verify, as you were mentioning there earlier, verifying what is the source of this information. And then using common sense, Andrea, like the idea that, you know, Donald Trump's going to do an advert, you know, for Lunchtime Live and introduce the program every day. You know, look, common sense will tell us this is wrong. So we have to trust our instincts as well, that actually, look, there's something wrong here with this clip. You know, for example, a politician, there might be an edited video of a politician saying something outrageous. And we know from experience that, well, that's not that the viewpoint that that politician would hold. Mm. Therefore, it's very unlikely that that politician would say this. Mm. So let's make sure what the source is. Now, unless the politician has had a figgery and decided that he's going to make some crazy statement. So, you know, we can't be afraid of it as journalists, because we have to say, you know, we will be able to cover these elections and trust our own judgment as well, that we can spot these fakes. We're also, just like, you know, you did give me the heads up about the intro there. So I was kind of like, we're naturally skeptical as well. So that's another instinct as well that will help us get us through this this kind of challenge that we're going to face.
There is already the steps being taken then by newsrooms to be that bit extra vigilant then.
Yes, of course. We all are as well. And then the other interesting thing about newsrooms, that we don't do it in terms of generating scripts by AI. I mean, we just haven't gone down that. But other newsrooms, other organisations are. And then there's a whole legal aspect to that in terms of, you know, copyright and, you know, who actually wrote those stories initially anyway. So I think we will be, there's also the kind of, when the videos appear, there's also the kind of the crowdsourcing that will also kind of say, this is fake, and there's reputable, you know, fact checkers and all the rest that are available. So yes, with every challenge that AI comes up with, there's a whole team of people that are going to be able to kind of prove and work on and to make sure that actually what we're seeing is the truth and that it's a factual. Remember, and also just to say that before AI and everything, you know, people could manipulate videos.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
but we all said editing. Yeah. You know, sure, you and I are editing for 20 years at this stage on software systems, you know.
And therefore,
for audio,
you know, what way you do a clip could actually, you know, determine, you know, the tone of a, you know, we had Simon Harris saying that one of his comments at an event recently were taken out of context because everyone focused on one particular aspect, the Berlin and Paris comment. Mm. So, you know, again, as I say, so the challenges have always been there. I just don't want to get overwhelmed by the thought that kind of, oh, we won't be able to deal with it. I think we have to be confident that, yes, we can deal with the challenge that AI poses.
And isn't that also the point that we're in a period of tremendous transition at the moment where we're trying to grapple with this technology, which to all intents and purposes only landed 18 months ago? And what you're trying to do is understand the context of using the technology. Now, you will have the legal side will come in and try to put some frameworks around what, you know, the do's and the don'ts. But, you know, even within, let's say, the AI Act, there's a derogation for, let's say, the use of these deepfakes that says, you know, it's OK if they're kind of evidently sort of, you know, comedic in nature or some form of sarcasm or, you know, for that sort of a purpose. Mm. So, you know, there's probably going to be a period in the next couple of years where we're going to try to work our way through what we can deal with, what's reasonable, and what will just be shaken off immediately as the sort of rubbish you
get. Yeah, so there's sort of, there's data protection concerns.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's copyright, as Eamon said, copyright issues.
Yeah, and also as well, I think to be upfront when you're using it, because it's interesting, a few weeks ago, one of the national newspapers had an opinion poll. And it described how it did the survey, and it was by text. And it said, this is how it said, because you're supposed to be open as well, and remember, in how you do a survey, how many people you survey. And it said, we used OpenAI, ChatGPT, to summarise the findings.
Yeah.
And I thought, that was the first time I had encountered that in an Irish newspaper. And it struck me as, I don't know whether I'm reassured or not reassured, but at least I know.
Yeah.
And I think that's crucial.
That is part of what the law will say, is that you have to have a transparency aspect to it. So if you're interacting with a piece of technology that's not absolutely apparent,
you're a specialist now, you know, as a solicitor in a legal firm in AI and artificial intelligence. So how much have we as the Irish state and government caught up with where AI is at the moment, or are we very far behind?
I know, I don't think we're very far behind, let's say, when it comes to the policy side of things. When it comes to, I guess, investment, that's a different story. But I think that's more of a European versus US type thing, where the US is clearly streets ahead of us when it comes to generating this tech. All of that big tech comes out of the US, not Europe.
It's really interesting. We're going to be talking about AI and the arts on tomorrow's Lunchtime Live. But partner with Mason Hayson Kearns, Brian McGallaghan, and of course, news anchor with News Talk, Eamon Torresney. Thanks a million to you both for joining us here on the programme today. Listener says, that clone of Andrea totally caught me. It did sound like her, but it was zero crack. Thanks a million for that. We'll take that. Absolutely delighted with that message.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.